Hey, everybody. Sweet home Chicago. It's not so sweet anymore. William Kelly joins the program as we lament the downfall and destruction of my favorite place in America, my once favorite place in America. I love Chicago, and I hate what is happening to it. We also talk with Mike Benz about, is Taylor Swift an op? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and become a member, charliekirk.com. Click on the Members tab and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. What a great city Chicago used to be. You know, I was just recently speaking with a Chicagoan who's not a real political guy. And he said, you know, I would defend Chicago up until about 2 years ago. Now I'm done. He's like, the city is dead. It is over. It's really sad. And I said, is there any life? Is there any hope? He said, it is just a completely captured institution. And it's getting worse. And it's getting worse. And it's getting worse. And it's getting worse. It's sad. I don't celebrate this. I don't delight in this. William J. Kelly is with us. He's a terrific reporter. William, lots of different aspects here. What is the latest with going on O'Hare International Airport? They've just taken over the entire airport. Walk us through it.
Well, we've been reporting from O'Hare and every other migrant shelter in the city of Chicago for, it seems like, forever now. And, you know, they're trying to move the migrants out of O'Hare, actually. I think Governor Pritzker and Mayor Johnson are already trying to put a fresh coat of paint on O'Hare for the DNC convention, which is going to be in the city of Chicago, as you know, in 2024. National media is expected to arrive in Chicago next week. And the last thing that Governor Pritzker wants or Mayor Johnson wants is for them to immediately be greeted by migrants sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, so it ties into what's happening in New York City, where they took over a Hamilton school. And so then Mayor Johnson, who is terrible, he's a total Marxist. He says that sending illegals to New York and Chicago is because they hate black mayors. Now, what I thought, William, that the people of Chicago overwhelmingly have voted for open borders and diversity is our strength. So why are they all of a sudden upset that hundreds of thousands of illegals are coming to their city?
Well, you know, it's it would almost be funny if it wasn't our city, my city, the city I love with all my heart, the city I was born and raised in. There was a suburban mayor who had a sign on her front lawn that said, "All are welcome. All is love. We love science." And then as soon as the migrant buses pulled up to her front doorstep, the sign disappeared, Charlie. It's gone. And now she is telling these bus drivers that they need to keep going all the way to the city of Chicago. What I would say to, you know, people who seem to be happy about the demise of a great American city like Chicago is that it's literally in the middle of America, you know, and I'm not a military intelligence officer here, but I do know that that destroying a major American city is probably not going to be good long term for the future of the United States of America, for our freedom. You know, whether you live in literally ground zero, like I do, you know, right across the street from a migrant shelter right off of Michigan Avenue, if you can picture this, Charlie. I know you can, but the Magnificent Mile, right? But you know, whether even if you live in the suburb of Chicago or even anywhere in the Midwest, you should realize, okay, I don't think you have to be a military intelligence officer to realize that these migrants are not just going to stay in the Gold Coast Hotel, even though it's a pretty good deal. You know, I know a lot of Americans, homeless vets and others, that would probably jump at the opportunity. But you know, they're going to venture out, and this is not going to bode well for the Midwest. You know, Chicago's the economic engine of the Midwest, as you know. If Chicago fails, the Midwest fails. America fails. This is not. You know, so this whole idea of, you know, Chicago gets what it deserves, which I've been hearing, by the way, like for the last 20 years from Republicans and conservative leaders telling me whenever I said, you know, rang the alarm bell, hey, have you heard about this guy, this state senator Barack Obama? You know, they almost took glee in telling me Chicago gets what it deserves. Well, guess what? America is going to pay the price for this. Not just Chicago. Chicagoans are oddly well adapted to chaos, to violent crime, to corrupt politicians. We are oddly well adapted to this. I'm not 100% sure that the suburbs of Chicago are.
Yeah, no, the collar counties, I don't think, are ready for this. So here's my question, though. What is the breaking point? Why are people still putting up with this? The people of Chicago that I grew up with are decent and they are hardworking, yes. But this is so past the point. I mean, so the answer to my own question is, why are they putting up with it? Because they're in Naples, Florida now, or they're in Scottsdale, right? I mean, I think anyone that has the gusto, the testosterone, the spirit to fight tyranny, they're now my neighbors in Arizona. Is there some truth to that?
There's a lot of truth to that. And the survival instinct in my own brain is telling me to run from the violent criminals, the migrants, the corrupt politicians, and the straight up lunatics. But the reporter in me is telling me that Chicago is the opportunity of a lifetime. Okay. We have been reporting on what I call the migrant money shell game at reporterwilliamjkelly.com. It's like 20 Pulitzer prizes waiting to happen. We've got these, like I said, the Democrat National Convention is coming to town. I'm definitely going to, I'm going to be here, God willing, reporting with the violent criminals, the migrants, the corrupt politicians, until the final act.
What is Brandon Johnson saying?
Oh, well, he has a solution, Charlie. Haven't you heard? He's got a one-word solution to violent crime: reparations. He says that if you would just be willing to pay the violent criminals reparations for slavery, then he might consider addressing violent crime in the city of Chicago, which, by the way, if you refresh your screen, literally, yeah, I mean, you get literally a blister on your finger refreshing the screen. There's a horrific crime that when you and I were, kids, would have been like the crime of the century. Now it's the crime of the moment in the city of Chicago, the one day crime. And it's always a violent repeat offender. It's always, by the way, someone who is usually out on a gun charge. Now, you know, Governor Pritzker is what he calls an assault weapon ban in the state of Illinois. It went into effect on New Year's Day on legal gun owners, right? Law abiding gun owners. But yet the violent repeat offenders are always out on a gun charge, committing new crimes and posting photos of themselves on social media, holding up ARs with extended magazines. So, the only people in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois now that seem to be the only punishable offense in the state of Illinois is to be a reporter asking an elected official a question. That's the first one, or a legal gun owner.
there were 646 homicides and 3,077 shootings in Chicago last year alone. It is far more dangerous than people realize. William, how do people support your work and follow what you're doing?
Well, I never would have thought as a reporter that I would need a legal defense fund, Charlie. But as you know, Lightfoot, I'm still in federal court. Lightfoot revoked my media credential. So reporterwilliamjkelly.com, there's a legal defense fund there. I intend to report all the way through the DNC convention in August and beyond. And anytime you're in town, let me know. We will we'll go on a tour of Chicago.
Yeah, in an armored vehicle with lots of armed guards.
Exactly.
During the middle of the day. William, thank you so much. Great work. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
It's not a joke. I don't feel safe in downtown Chicago anymore. It is so sad. It's so tragic. You got these thugs that are running the streets. It's not fun. I text the Chicago police. They say they don't come here. Do not come to downtown Chicago. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream bed sheets. Made from the world's best cotton called Giza, these sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And for now, a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come up in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Podcast Square and use promo code Kirk at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I love MyPillow, and I surely hope you guys check it out. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Kirk. Support Mike Lindell, my good friend and great American patriot. Remember, the sale won't last forever. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Several topics we want to cover here, but I want to just elaborate on this. You know, growing up in Chicago, it is such a tragedy what's happened there. Chicago, growing up, had this vibe, this energy that has just completely been sucked out of it. And it's not COVID. I think back to when Barack Hussein Obama became president in 2008 and Grant Park was filled up as far as the eye could see. I think back to even 2011, 2012. It still had this appeal. And it has become a laughingstock for the rest of the country. I was proud to be from Chicago. You know, people laugh at me when I say I'm from Chicago. I kid you not. I say, yeah, I'm from Chicago. And they say, oh, yeah, right. I say, no, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago. And they say, really? It is without a doubt now considered one of the hellholes of America. And that's too bad because it's not that bad in the suburbs and there's still some amazing people there and I have some great friends there. But what is the reason that Chicago has fallen apart? What is the reason? Multifaceted. Number one, self-inflicted, without a doubt. But honestly, it was weak Republicans that set the baseline for this. Weak and corrupt Republicans. Governor Edgar, many others. And it was a cause set in motion for many years that people refused to make the tough and the necessary decisions in Illinois. An unfunded pension problem, which then led to high taxes and big government type spending and Mike Madigan being Speaker of the House for nearly 40 years. Illinois is about 15 years ahead of Washington, D.C. It's the same sort of mentality. No concern about cutting spending. It's all victim politics. 646 homicides. There's 646 homicides in the city of Chicago. The vast majority of which, and I'm talking about 78% of them, are Black victims and Black perps, and 17% are Hispanic victims and Hispanic perps. So, for those of you keeping score at home, in Chicago, there's 646 murders. 3.9% of them involve white people. And yet, the leader of Chicago, Mayor Johnson, is worried about white supremacy. Well, Mayor Johnson, why don't you try to improve the cultural dynamics, the family dynamics of black culture in Chicago, because they're never interested in that. They're interested in blaming the white guy. In fact, look at this piece of tape here. Mayor Johnson goes out and he says it's an attack on people of color. He says that it's because that we're black they hate us. No, you're a Marxist. You're a terrible mayor. He's worse than Lightfoot, who is worse than Tiny Dancer. Rahm Emanuel. Chicago is this very, very tragic story. And it is in a complete and total death spiral. Who actually wants to live in Chicago? By the way, property values are down and property taxes are coming up. And it could be solved, by the way. That's what's so tragic about this. It could be solved. If a leader came in and was serious about cleaning up the streets and increasing a police force, the people of Chicago are tough. There it is. That's Chicago. 3,777 people shot, 646 total homicides. Only 3.9% of the assailant. By the way, this is so funny. So this is a fact. So there were 646 murders. How many assailants in Chicago are white out of 646 murders? Four. So there's 646 homicides, and four of them are white people. And yet all you hear about is white supremacy and white supremacy and white men. And four of the assailants. How many of the assailants were black? 59. And also notice the discrepancy between assailants and victims. Most go unsolved, by the way. Just, we don't know. They just don't even look into it. They don't care. It's so fixable. And yet we're lectured that we live in a racist country and we need reparations and we need redistributing wealth and we need all this sort of stuff. Chicago is a test case. And these lies have real consequences, which is why we're doing the show that we're going to be doing Monday. These lies unchecked result in tragic murder, bloodshed. All right, I want to tell you about Herzog. Herzog Foundation is amazing. I want you guys to check it out right now. We've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. To learn more about how your family and faith and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. HerzogFoundation.com. H-E-R-Z-O-G. HerzogFoundation.com. Okay, joining us now is Mike Benz. Mike does a great job. Mike, welcome to the program. So there's a lot going on here. I've said for a while that Taylor Swift is an op. I mean, we have the Kansas City Swifties that are playing on Saturday night on a paywall Peacock with Travis Kelce. Now, for us, it was just a gut feeling, and I was half kidding. I said all the time, this thing feels so forced. And I remember I was at a grocery store recently, and every single magazine was Taylor. So I said, this is just so over the top. This is just out of control. And then Travis Kelce has the most commercials I've ever seen any human being ever have. I mean, he has like Experian, he has Pfizer, he has State Farm. I mean, you can't get away from him. I said, the guy's good, but he's not that good. And so the whole thing feels like an op, but you stumbled upon some tape and some documents that suggests that the Masters of the Universe actually proposed Taylor Swift being an op to fight for democracy. Walk us through it.
Yeah, so this is pretty crazy. So my antenna stick about Taylor was up coming into last week because Taylor Swift made a video a couple months back complaining that her discography had been purchased by the Carlyle Group and the Soros family. Now, the Carlyle Group was the private equity arm of the Iraq War. They were the sort of Cheney-Rumsfeld, you know, sort of finance profiteering arm of that. There's a lot of ink that's been spilled about the war machine around the Carlyle Group. So I thought, oh, that's a little odd that the Carlyle Group would be investing in the rights of Taylor Swift, because we've seen many times in history the music industry being used as an instrument of statecraft. I've gone through this history, you know, many times before in my timeline, for example, all the way back from jazz diplomacy in the 1940s when the State Department was using black jazz musicians as state assets in order to get sovereign African nations after World War II to come around to the U.S. versus Russia. Same thing with the Congress for Cultural Freedom, where the CIA used to sponsor classical music conferences in Paris and in Rome during the Cold War, and then in Berlin and in West Germany during the Cold War when it came to punk rock, and then even all the way down to rap music. The Cuban Revolution in 2020, in that summer, the theme song for that revolution was this song called Patria y Vida, which was a song that was created by a group called the San Ysidro Movement, who was a Cuban black rapper gang that was incubated by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a CIA cutout. So there's this long history that Taylor Swift sort of enters the picture in. And when I saw that her discography was purchased by the Carlyle Group, and she actually had to re-record her own songs last year just to have rights to her own music because the War Machine had bought her original one, I thought, Taylor Swift is an instrument of statecraft. They're using her the same way they've used so many others. That's all sort of setting the stage for last week. So I was doing a research stream for folks who follow me. I was doing this sort of 3-hour deep dive going through a NATO psychological operations conference on social media censorship from 2019. And that's not hyperbole or overstatement when I say this. It's the official YouTube channel, something called the NATO Center of Excellence in Riga, Latvia. Now, you have to understand, in 2014, after the Crimea annexation, NATO decided that war had changed and there was no longer any such thing as conventional war. Now, they weren't expecting the 2022 events to happen in terms of a hot war with Russia. At that point, NATO had never had to fire a defensive bullet, despite having been around since 1949. And they had never had to actually use one of their own tanks. They've obviously been a part of air raid things with Yugoslavia and Libya and whatnot. But they decided in 2014 that war had become a hybrid of the kinetic and the psychological, essentially, that war was mostly now about political warfare than about kinetic warfare. And so they underwent a shift to create these so-called centers of excellence in strategic communications and in psychological operations in order to make sure that the internal political systems of Eastern Europe were buffered against Russia, so to speak. But of course, the catch for this is that any right-wing populist group that was NATO skeptic or Eurosceptic or wanted cheap Russian gas was deemed to be, ipso facto, backed by the Russians and therefore the purview of these centers of excellences to censor on social media. And I'll give you a great example. None other than our friend Jack Posobiec was featured on the cover of the Atlantic Council's February 2018 Defending Disinformation Against Democracy Against Disinformation cover, when the Atlantic Council, who has 7 CIA directors on its board and bills itself as NATO's think tank, did a narrative network analysis and said that Jack Posobiec was the number one influencer for promoting Marine Le Pen online. And the Atlantic Council had determined that Marine Le Pen in France, who was opposing Macron and lost in a nail-biter 52-48 election, was backed by the Russians because she wanted the Nord Stream 2 pipeline up and running. And she wanted cheap Russian gas as opposed to the expensive American alternative. And so as a result, you essentially had the CIA cutouts making the argument that Jack Posobiec needed to be censored on Twitter because of his outside influence in propping up a French political candidate who was positive on Russian energy. So you see how this whole thing gets corrupted. But essentially in this, and I'll wind it home now to the Taylor Swift aspect of this. So we're watching this presentation, and it's hosted formerly by NATO's Psychological Operations Center. And the people who are the panelists are all War Machine people and psychological operations people in particular. It's Renee DiResta, who started her career in the CIA and who went on to be the chief architect in many respects of the 2020 censorship of mail-in ballots. It was her work through the Stanford Internet Observatory and the Election Integrity Partnership who targeted you personally, Charlie. Renee DiResta at EIP literally had you, Charlie Kirk, as one of the top 21 quote repeat misinformation spreaders, delegitimizing the use of mail-in ballots, and they put you in a grid to take you out. And so she's on this panel. And again, at the time, it wasn't known that she began her career in the CIA. So was someone from the 77th Brigade for British military intelligence. But it turned out the speaker for this particular clip worked at Graphica. You know, Graphica started its operations as part of the Minerva Initiative, which is the Psychological Warfare Research Center of the Pentagon. They got $7 million in grants from the Pentagon to do psychological operations work. And this woman from the Pentagon's private PSYOPs firm pitches at the NATO PSYOPs conference to use people like Taylor Swift. Now, she said, I'll be clear, she said people like Taylor Swift, but she had Taylor Swift's image on there. She said, we've worked with Taylor Swift in the past when we had her do Get Out the Vote campaigns, and when we had her work with the CDC, potentially NATO could work with her or other people like her when it comes to helping NATO's brand and doing psychological operations related to NATO war efforts. So you have, and it was her picture, and on the screen as she's doing this presentation is talking about how she can be trained to echo the messaging that will be useful to the sponsor being NATO psychological operation.
All right, let's play cut 164. Here's the tape. Let's play cut 164.
So the first one that's the most famous and the most common is working with famous people or main influencers to share information or a particular message. So I include Taylor Swift in here because...
Are you kidding me? Center of Excellence. The NATO Center of Excellence. In 2019, Taylor Swift, who I probably rage posted about 1,400 times about as a geopolitical instrument of statecraft because her IP discography was purchased by the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group, the private equity arm of the Iraq War, with Dick Cheney on its board and the entire Halliburton, West Texas oil mafia.
So we have all these kind of different pieces together. What is the Taylor Swift op? Because there's obviously somebody is either using or deploying Taylor Swift for a reason. I mean, and then by the way, we must understand she's been less political, to be perfectly fair, in recent years. But the last time she was political was she's very, very upset that Roe versus Wade was repealed. She sent out a tweet on that. And she also just crying like a hysterical little girl. Went into a tantrum because she saw an advertisement for Marsha Blackburn. It's worth playing. Play cut 162.
Really is a big deal. She votes against fair pay for women. She votes against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which is just basically protecting us from domestic abuse and stalking. She thinks that if you're a gay couple, or even if you look like a gay couple, you should be allowed to be kicked out of a restaurant. It's really basic human rights, and it's right and wrong at this point. And I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for.
Okay. Do you want me to go off for this minute?
Is that,
okay. So basically, yes. Okay. So let's just start like right away with her recent political involvement. That is true that she's not one of these kind of, you know, Oprah Winfrey type people who's constantly sort of going off making news cycles about her politics. But she actually was very influential in the 2020 election. She not only did this big baking cookies for Biden drive and was highly public for several months about going out to vote for Biden, but she actually did the voter recruitment, voter drive turnout, so much so that MSN actually published a piece only a week and a half ago calling Taylor Swift the, quote, secret weapon of the Biden administration to get young people to turn out to vote for him. So this is one of these things where, precisely because of what you said, that she's not hyper-political in any sort of constant sense, that it's almost like either strong beliefs loosely held, that is, she doesn't necessarily really believe She's not a real big vibrance, but she'd be turned on for it. Yeah.
If I wanted to create an op, if I did, I would have the most popular woman of the year singer date a popular Midwestern tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's an op made in heaven. All right, Mike, please continue. And also just remember, she's not overly political, but she did a little Biden thing passively in 2020. I want to be very clear. She was, you know, in favor of Biden, put up the Biden cookie thing. Please keep going.
Yeah. And then you have the fact that she's in the middle of the largest tour in human history right now, this Eras Tour. It has the GDP of a top 50, you know, country. And she is doing this tour, which, again, we know that these large concert tours have often been instrumentalized for DOD purposes, as I mentioned just now in the Iraq and Afghanistan example, with Miles Copeland and Donald Rumsfeld. And here you have the same Donald Rumsfeld network, the Carlyle Group, who personally purchased Taylor Swift's discography 2 years ago. But then beyond that, you have the fact that Taylor Swift's music, if you actually look at its geographic penetration, has been it's at its highest globally right now in India, Pakistan, and the Philippines. Now, I find this very, very curious because all three of these countries have in-process regime change operations from the State Department. In Pakistan, for example, you have the case of Imran Khan, who it came out there was a State Department cable promising the military establishment in Pakistan sanctions relief and economic rewards if they went forward with this no confidence vote that got him as the democratically elected leader of Pakistan kicked out of office. And then they Donald Trumped him. He was subject to over 190 criminal charges and as well as arrested for hate speech and many other things, all because of his position in defying essentially the Pentagon, CIA, UK, Brussels war machine when it came to everything from the Ukraine-Russia war. They very decidedly sided not with Ukraine on that, I'll say, as well as purchasing the oil and arms on a continuing basis from Russia to maintain their economy. Same thing with Modi in India. I've written extensively about the Biden administration's and State Department's efforts to try to regime change Modi from India, and as well as in the Philippines. It was the 2016 election in the Philippines that preceded Brexit and that preceded the Trump election that was the original crisis of the national security state and wanting to control and censor social media because the wrong people were getting elected. So the Philippines doesn't really have its own.
There's also this vote.org element to this. And if so, let's just say they were building and building and building. And again, there's a lot of suspicion and we're half kidding with her being a central intelligence agency op and all that. I'm half kidding. But there's something here, right? Whether it be the Creative Arts Agency, CAA, whether it be there's something here that is synthetic and forced and all of us feel it. And, you know, you've done a great job of laying out some of the other data points that might kind of figure it. And look, she's unbelievably popular. She was person of the year. I've never seen a celebrity have an attachment with her fans. It's absolutely unbelievable. She deserves credit for that. And it's something that then could be used and deployed. So let just about as quick as you can, Mike, if she were to then be deployed as a Democrat get out the vote operation, what would that look like? What would the steps that need to fall into place if that were to be true?
Well, we know I should note this was not in the clip from the NATO, from that 2 minute thing I clipped from the 3 hour stream, but actually in that very conference, the Pentagon PSYOPs person went on to cite the empirical statistical data points around the effectiveness of Taylor Swift in her get out the vote operations in seasons past. And so we know that was not only like a hypothetical thing they might do. She literally said specifically Taylor Swift, because studies have shown that when she says to get out the vote, then millions of young people do it. And we know that the young people tend to vote overwhelmingly for the establishmentarian candidate pushed by the media, both in the US and in Europe. So, you know, I don't think NATO has this charitable drive to just try to get every person in the country to vote as out of civic duty. I think they want their own puppet candidates to win the elections. And so young people voted for Macron, young people overwhelmingly voted for Biden. You know, young people voted, you know, primarily against Brexit. And so I think that when they say get out the vote, and Taylor Swift is effective at that, and here are studies showing that at a NATO psychological operations unit, and it's the Pentagon, the U.S. side that's pushing that, you know, that to me is all you need to say that, because
it just feels forced. And it is my hope that Taylor Swift sticks to just doing music. I think it's going to be bad for her brand. I mean, not that I'm one to give her advice. She stayed away from a lot of this stuff. I hope she does this coming fall, but we better be on guard, because she could be an unbelievable asset for Biden and the Democrat Party. Thanks, Mike Bence. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.